Log Talk Radio.
For Saturday, July 28th, 2018, you're listening to the PW Torch Livecast, a.k.a. The Deep Dive with Rich Fan. I am, of course, Rich Fan. And on this My Hero Academia Saturday, we are talking to you. But, of course, before we do that, I got to give you the pertinent information. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. So, this week, we are talking about standing for companies. We are talking about putting your money behind the money instead of the people trying to make the money. And like I said, we're talking to you. So, if you don't feel like doing the whole call thing, you can always give us a little email action at pwtdive@gmail.com. That's pwtdive@gmail.com. So, I am going to have an illustrious guest this week. This will be his deep dive debut, Triple D. Excellent person and the impetus behind this show, Mr. Jeff Jones. Jeff, how are you doing today, sir?
Doing good. How's it going, Rich?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. So before we get started, why don't you tell the folks about yourself a little bit, what got you into wrestling, and what made you think about this as the subject of our chat today?
Okay. I'm originally from Virginia. And I moved to New York in about 2011. Got married, got a family, work in security. And what got me into wrestling, I believe it was Saturday night's main event. Yeah, it was Saturday night's main event. I saw it. And I was maybe around 7 or 8, maybe 9. And I was just like, what's this? And I had to, like, keep watching it. And I remember asking my dad. And I asked him the next day, is wrestling on? He's like, no. You know, I kept on asking, when wrestling coming on? So, you know, eventually I figured it out. And ever since then, you know, I've been watching wrestling. I don't think I've ever taken a break watching wrestling. I may have taken a break of companies, but never, you know, I've always continued to keep on watching wrestling. And what really brought me to this subject was actually watching the last Nitro. I wanted to look, so I looked at the ratings of the last Nitro. I think it was like a 3.0, and then I looked at Raw's ratings afterwards, and I saw that, you know, a lot of people just left. A lot of people who were watching WCW, NWA, they just fell off. They just stopped watching wrestling. And I just found that interesting. It's more, I guess what I want to say is, what's why? That's what I want to know more why. And I had a friend, and his father used to heavily watch WCW, NWA. And I asked him, I said, hey, ask your dad, you know, and he was like, I just stopped because I knew that it wasn't going to be what I used to watch. I was just like, wow. And I asked him, I said, so you never thought about, you know, watching WWE or anything else? He's like, nope. He said, I'm good. So, you know, that's what really, you know, where the topic came from. And I was just really been, you know, thinking about it and watching people on social media and how they interact, especially about their promotion. You know, that really got me going about the topic, and that's when I brought it to you.
Awesome. And so nowadays, the biggest thing that people talk about with standing is like maybe WWE versus a New Japan, or WWE versus you know, talking about the Women's Evolution pay per view and how that stands out without regard for the things they've done in the past that kind of made women become pushed to the side. So What do you think nowadays? Because that, I think that WCW example is a great one. What do you think with this current landscape? How does that standing show up? Or what can they do? Because I have another question after that to kind of get some of those people back.
What can they do to get the people back? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know. I think I can give you guesses, but I really don't know. But I look at it as if they're in the right direction. With the whole women's evolution thing, I've seen a lot of women very excited about this. Just happy in general that this is happening for WWF. Yeah, we know it may have happened in other promotions or, you know, things like that. But just happening for, you know, WWE, I think that's a good start. I'm also going to say how WWE especially uses minorities, because I've seen a lot of minorities get turned off for the simple fact of how some of their stars are being treated. While it's gotten better, they still can do more.
And no, that's a very good point. I was listening a few days ago to The Observer, and Brian Alvarez brought up a really good point when he was talking to Mike Sempervivi about the idea of when you look at the numbers of the WWE network, it's becoming clearer, and it even blew when they had Dave Meltzer come on as like their guest for Wrestling Observer Live. It blew his mind a little bit that there is a group of fans that are clearly watching the network only for the old stuff, but not watching the active week-to-week shows. Do you think they kind of fall into what you're talking about, or is that a whole different monster altogether?
I think it's a whole different thing. I really do, because you have a lot of people who just, that's just their mindset. I got it, and I just want to watch old stuff. Because, you know, they may have fell out of, you know, watching WWE or whatever it may have been years ago or, you know, many years ago. But they heard about the network. It was like, hey, I'm going to get this. I can enjoy what I used to watch and, you know, the guys that I used to watch wrestle. Because, people just fell off. What am I going to say? Well, fell off in the sense of they stopped keeping up with WWE, I think. I'm going to say around that time of when, you know, WCW closed up shop, because you had a lot of people out there that just really enjoyed, you know, the two different brands and having to have that, I can turn it here or I can, you know, stay on WCW. This is what I like. Or WWE. This is what I like. Or even ECW. This is, you know, I don't want to watch either. And when you don't have those things, a lot of people just, you know, they just left.
When it comes to the network and it comes to kind of the money they're bringing in from the network, is there anything you feel is missing from a WCW standpoint that could attract some of those people? Or do you think it's just, nah, I'm good, and they're not ever going to come back?
Nah, I don't think they're going to come back. I think you could get them, and I think they try with how they have the network set up as far as spotlights on Goldberg, your spotlights on Flair, you know, having some of their matches and stuff on the network and stuff like that. But I just don't – I think once the love of – you know, because I can tell you just sideways, I used to love ECW. Watch all their pay-per-views and stuff like that. And even when WWE decided to say, hey, let's bring back ECW One Night Stand, I knew what it was, I understood it, but it still didn't, it just wasn't the same as it was me originally watching ECW. So it's hard to get those people back, especially, you know, when their hearts were, you know, WCW was their brand. So it's kind of hard to try to get them back like that.
Now, I think that's good. I think that's a really good point. And when we come back, I want to kind of talk a little bit about digging deep into the fandom and why people even nowadays are more interested in going after the organization than, say, even looking at specific people. And we'll get back to that here on The Deep Dive.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. The Sala Monster sounds off.
Mundo goes to leave, and Taya says, "Wait, aren't you going to put any pants on?" He just goes, "No time for pants," and he walks off. That also happens to be Randy Orton's philosophy in life. My philosophy, too. See, you don't know if I'm wearing pants right now or not, do you? You can't see. I could be wearing nothing right now for all you know. No time for pants.
Since 2007, The Sala Monster Sounds Off. Available at thesalamonster.com, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, iTunes, and more.
All right, welcome back to The Deep Dive with Rich and Jeff. We're talking about Cape for Company, some of the lost fandom, and how they, if ever, will come back. And when we were just about to go to break, I was talking about the idea of what ways you can kind of bring them back, and Jeff doesn't seem too positive on it. And for me, I look at it this way. There are always going to be those people that just go with the company, especially with the WWE focusing their fan base in particular on the company over wrestlers. I think their fandom is like quirkiest of all. WCW same way, because it had been that us versus them Monday Night Wars situation that a lot of people took serious, especially if you were a wrestling fan that grew up in the Crockett era, in the NWA WCW era, and that was what your wrestling was. I remember in college with friends who had cable, it very much was they saw both things. And for me, as a person who didn't have cable until I got to college, I was strictly WWE because they had all the syndicated stuff I watched outside of the random ECW episodes I could sneak on a VHS tape. So for you, Jeff, what do you think is the psyche of those fans? Like, do you think, because that's what I'm really interested in. I think we could even do a book on that. Like, what do they do now? Do they follow wrestling at all? Did they just move on to other things? Are they like your dad, who was like, "Nah, I'm done, whatever"? What do you think? Are they clamoring for something? Like, if they got X, Y, and Z, I'm all in on this company, whatever company it is.
I'm honestly think a lot of those people, they went a lot of different ways. Some of them may have went to, "Hey, I'm watching UFC now. I'm watching MMA." Some of them may just continue to watch, you know, sports, baseball, football, whatever. I mean, it's really interesting because I would love to find somebody and just say, "Hey, you know, you used to watch wrestling." They say, "Yeah, why don't you watch it anymore? What can bring you back?" Because I can guess, but it's really hard because, in a sense, again, when you look at the network, they're doing what they can, or they're doing what they want to try to bring those people in. I wonder if sometimes that Vince, WWE, wish they would have played the whole buying out WCW thing out, you know, a little bit different. I mean, you know, everybody would have known it would have been bought out, but I don't know. I just feel like a lot of those people's feelings were just hurt. You know, especially those hardcore fans, like you said, those people that grew up watching it through the Crockett era and stuff like that. I just think they just got turned off and they went to other things. You know, some of them, they started a family, had a family, and just lived life. They just went away.
And right now we're seeing, you mentioned the last WCW ratings, and we're seeing the WWE well under 3.0 for their ratings, but about to pull in more money than any wrestling organization's ever gotten in terms of national contracts.
Yeah.
We've seen, even with them, they've lost several, I wouldn't say, because that Monday Night Wars runoff, I would say 1 million, 2 million people in the last 15, 20 years. Do you think those 2 million are as lost as the WCW folks, or do you think there is a way to get some of them back?
You know, it's funny. I think a lot of the people, when it comes to WWE, mm-hmm. I think they're in and out, in and out. I honestly believe that. I believe, you know, they come, take a peek to see what's going on, and then, you know, they're like, okay, I've had enough. That's it. I'm out again. And then, you know, they may come back 6 months later, 3 months later, or just WrestleMania to see what's going on. I don't think they completely left, because especially I have people that I know at work, they have the network, and all they do is watch the pay-per-views. They don't watch Raw. They don't watch Smack. They just strictly watch the pay-per-view. And I just found it interesting. Like, so you don't even keep up with it, you know, doing it. He's like, nah, you know, they had a little recaps during the pay-per-view, so, you know, I'll figure it out or whatever. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, WWE's a little bit different, because those fans, I think, can always, you know, hop in and out and still know what's going on. You can't really, if you really love the other brand of WCW, you're hopping into it and what are you looking for? Because most of those guys, pretty much all of them are gone now, as far as, you know, active wrestlers and being on TV.
Wow. And what about, have you been watching any of these other new burgeoning companies, like the New Impact, as well as the MLW Fusion? Do you feel like they're developing their own fan bases, or are they runoffs of the WWE North American product?
That's a great question, and I want to watch Impact. I fell off because, you know, I was watching it. I didn't, you know, for there. I think the last time I saw was in New York State, and I think that was, what, a year ago or 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't really been keeping up, but I've been seeing with social media just rave reviews of how everybody, you know, as far as Tina, are excited about the product right now. And I just recently heard about MLW. The problem is time is a real thing. And with me watching, trying to keep up with the G1, watching WWE and still trying to keep up with my Ring of Honor, it's difficult to get other things in. But I did say I was going to start DVR Impact just to try to, you know, check it out and see what's going on.
Oh, no, no. I was going to say, you just mentioned Ring of Honor and New Japan. So those are your two that kind of you watch outside of WWE. What is it about those two organizations that appeal to you? And, you know, in the second half of our conversation this evening, the one thing I want to talk about is like the whole idea of it going too far, when keeping it real goes wrong, and when people start standing for companies like the TNA Mecca folk and that sort of New Japan Intelligentsia, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I'm looking at this. I'm going to explain it like this. I'm like Kota Ibushi. I'm a free spirit when it comes to wrestling. I can't sit there and watch WWE all day because I feel like, no, I can't do this, because I'll start being one of those type of people who's always angry about something. And I just want to watch WWE and enjoy it. So I had gravitated towards Ring of Honor when it had first started. And that was my promotion for a while, almost like till 2011. I mean, it pretty much still is, but it was just something different, an alternative. You know, seeing guys grow, I got to see Punk, I got to see Daniel, I got to see all those guys, Joe, you know, and, you know, where they got to and where they are now. New Japan, I'm only in my second year now, so I'm still learning. So that's why I'm always, it's always great when you do New Japan shows, because I always learn something new. So New Japan, this is only year two for me, but I'm enjoying it. And it's just something different, you know, just to detox off of, you know, WWE, because there's just so much WWE. You got NXT, you got SmackDown, you got Raw, you got the pay-per-views. So, you know, I need that difference sometimes.
And for you, I think for me, you know, obviously I don't have the time to watch everything. And I think that goes into some of this too with life, right? We got so much product, not just wrestling, television. Like, I can hit, in the background I have My Hero Academia on, and it was funny because I threw on Facebook, hey, I'm getting back into anime, what should I watch? And the first person to respond is my brother, who was like, I've been told you about that. And he's right. He told me a smooth, like, 2.5, almost 3 years ago about this. And I was like, yeah, sure. And then I blacked out for 2 years. And then it took Willis and Darrell and Cam, and it might have even been you and Shahid, like, confirming, like, hey, yeah, you need to watch this. And now I'm watching it. I'm a couple episodes in. And I'm like, this is amazing. And I think that's how it is with everything. So when it's just wrestling, like, I can't say, oh, anime gang, you sci-fi fools, go suck a lemon or something. It gets weird, but a lot of times we'll see, you know, like the TNA Mecha was the best example. And for those of you who don't know, TNA Mecha was not quite sure, a website where TNA fans, Impact fans, could talk about how the rest of the world doesn't get it, and here are the reasons they secretly are more successful than anyone. And I'm not the type that will go headlong into anything. So when a wrestling company has fans that are that defensive, and then they had a situation where the lead person faked his own death and had his brother. This isn't a storyline, folks. This is reality. The person who maintained the website faked his own death, came back as his brother, who would take the moniker of the dead person just as an honorific, changed the name. But then, like, a couple of months later, wanted to change it back. And then wound up saying something that was very clearly something the other person said as an answer to a person that he shouldn't have known. And so I watched this from afar, right? Because I like car accidents. I just don't like being in them. And that's kind of when you mentioned this. I thought of those folks as my example, like people who are super fans. Like for me, I'm a New Japan fan. I love New Japan. I love what they bring to the table. But I can also watch WWE and not feel like this is an affront to everything that I stand for. Or I can watch MLW. I'll watch MLW, I think it's like every third episode. Like I watched Battle Riot last night because I had some time. And it was awesome. But there becomes a time where the hour and the day run out. And I've already made that decision. On Mondays, I'll watch half of Raw unless Wade needs me to cover it with him for the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post show, which we'll probably hear a delightful advertisement for in the next few minutes. Otherwise, I'm going to bed at like 9:30, 10, because if I'm watching 2 hours of SmackDown, an hour on Wednesday at NXT, this is G1 season, hashtag SCZN. This is where I'm going to be up at God knows what time of morning watching the singles matches, and you know, a wife and a kid, it adds up. And I'm sure for wrestling fans of any support, it adds up, which is why I get so confused when people are like militantly defensive of WWE or militantly defensive of New Japan. Like, New Japan isn't perfect. You still have the Bullet Club being complete jerks, ruining every other match that they're involved in. You still have had, as much as, you know, we talk about the issues WWE has with women, while there is a great system for Japanese women in Japan in terms of shows and promotions that feature them and merchandise they sell, New Japan still kind of has a problematic view of women, because the only women on the show are going to be most likely with Yujiro, which means that's going to get awkward.
Yeah. Well, you most definitely are right. I try to tell people a lot. If I was you, you know, when they tell me, you know, I love this and I love this promotion. Hey, won't you try this promotion? I just try to throw the olive branch. You know, check out this promotion too or whatever, because I've seen a lot of weird interactions of people as far as going overboard for promotions, and especially WWE, because it was around the World Greatest Royal Rumble, and this guy was really, really going at people because they had the stance of, well, I don't want to watch this because of the issues with the women in, you know, Saudi Arabia, but I'm not going to watch. Oh, why y'all not, you know, he was going in on everybody. You should be watching this because you already giving them your money and blah, 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 whatever. And he just couldn't understand why some people couldn't get down with that show. And it was just, I just found it, like, weird. Like, hey, people, some people have morals. They don't want to watch that. And, you know, it's weird, but, you know, I just tell people, hey, try to watch something else, because if you focus on this one thing and this is your love, I don't know. It's not a good thing. It's not a good thing.
It is. And I think the last couple of weeks I've been bringing up a movie that I think best exemplifies this. And when we come back, I'm going to tell Jeff about the movie. I'm going to kind of get his opinion if he's seen it before. And, of course, we're going to talk to you guys. And speaking of talk, I want to give you guys a quick little chatteroo about the fact that I'm going to picturesque Quebec City, home of PCO, tomorrow. And as part of my anniversary and my wife getting done with the bar exam. So in order to do that, I wanted to make sure I didn't look like a caveman. So I was able to dive into my Harry's Shave Club fun stuff and make sure my neck is nice and smooth. I don't look like the old neck beard. Got lined up high and tight, and so I can kind of maintain that and keep it right. And I love Harry's because not only is it inexpensive, not only am I going to look cultured and Quebec City friendly, I know on my anniversary weekend, or extended anniversary weekend because it's on the 18th, my wife will look at me and not think of me as a homeless person. And if you're on a trip abroad with your significant other, having them not look at you as a homeless person is a very important thing. So thank you, Harry's, for that. And I also thank you for the fact that you stand behind the quality of your blades, because, you know, switching razors is not an easy decision. So that's why they created a trial offer. Go to yours. Go to your opportunity to claim yours by going to harrys.com/pwtorch. Harry's delivers a close, comfortable shave at a fair price. Their founders, much like me, were fed up with overpaying for expensive razors with unnecessary features. They knew a great shave comes down to great blades made with sharp, durable steel that lasts. And that's why they bought a factory that's been making them for over 95 years. That's a while, folks. Can I get some shave music, Paul? Anywho, that's why, by selling directly to you, they can offer their blades at a price much lower than the leading brand, just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more. They also have a quality guarantee. If you don't love your shave, let Harry's know within 30 days, and they'll give you a full refund. So you'll get yourself a $13 trial set that comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave, the weighted ergonomic handle, the 5-blade razor with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich leathering shave gel, and travel blade cover. By being a listener of my show, you can redeem that trial here at harrys.com/pwtorch. Make sure you go to harrys.com/pwtorch to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support the show. So when I was just talking to Jeff, one of the things that reminded me of was a movie. And that movie, Jeff, I don't know if you've seen it. I mentioned it the last three deep dive is Big Fan, starring Patton Oswalt. It was a dark comedy. I'd say it was a drama because it got pretty rough. Where Patton was a huge Giants fan, and his idol, one of his favorite players, was out drunk one night, and he went to go help him and wound up getting beat up by the guy. And that severely changed how he viewed his fandom with the Giants, his relationship with football, and just his life. So I think with wrestling, it's the same thing. You don't want to get put in a situation where you're just stuck, right? What do you think about that? Have you seen that movie?
No, I've never seen the movie. Never seen it. And it sounds interesting. What is it called? It's called the Big Fan?
Yeah, it's called Big Fan. So he's a parking garage attendant who lives with his mom in Staten Island. He calls in the sports talk, and one time his favorite player shows up at a bar, gets drunk, beats him up.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to check that out. I've never seen that before. But it sounds disturbing. That's one thing I can say. I'm not sure. I think that
it's a lot.
Yeah, well, I think when you can look at wrestling as far as that goes, I think you can look at the instances where you have these people who love WWE and love to get pictures, and they can get creepy.
Mm-hmm.
And when the wrestler reacts in a normal way, I'm going to say, because they are normal people. And some things you do, if you come to people respectfully, you know, they will, you know, hopefully respect you back. But if you come disrespectful, I mean, you might have to get it back. And then afterwards is, you know, well, I don't like this person anymore, and forget whatever company because they should do something about A, B, C, and D. So I can see how that movie can kind of, you know, go into wrestling very easily.
Yeah, it's wild because they go into them very, like in the movie, after he gets beaten up, the Giants suspend him, and, you know, the police want to know if he wants to press charges, and he doesn't because he doesn't want to get him in the conduct policy and suspended and whatnot, so he just, like, tries to let it go. It's a lot, man. It's a lot. And for wrestling fans, I think more than anything, the days of the waiting at the airport to get the weird picture should have been gone, but it's still there. I remember seeing Sasha Banks talk about it on a YouTube interview where she was just talking about the anger of getting off a flight and someone wanting a picture, not because they're a fan, but because they want to sell it and they're just playing dumb. And I think that kind of going into business for yourself, for lack of a better phrase, is also something that you're putting yourself and your brand or whatever you're selling on eBay over the person whose body that is being broken for you to make money off of it. It's weird, man. It's really weird.
But you know what's interesting about that, and I hope this don't sideways, but anyway, I'm just going to say it and we can just leave it there. It's funny that when Sasha speaks on that, she gets a lot of negative feedback about it. But when CM Punk said it, he got a little negative feedback about it. Just interesting. I just find that really interesting, you know, because he pretty much said the same thing that she's saying and maybe some other wrestlers, but people just feel a certain type of way and it's like, oh, it's different for her. Well, no, she's saying the same thing that Punk said years ago.
No, that's a really good point, Jeff, and I want to talk about that when we get back on the other side of this bad boy because I got some bills to pay and some ad copy to deliver. So in a few scant moments, you'll hear from us again here on The Deep Dive.
Wrestling fans, if you're looking for a unique and entertaining way to get your wrestling podcast fix, check out Ring Rust Radio. Ring Rust Radio uses its trademark brand of banter to cover all professional wrestling you love, including WWE, NXT, New Japan, Lucha Underground, ROH, Impact Wrestling, and more. We also hold sit-down interviews with some of the biggest names in the history of the business, such as Stone Cold Steve Austin, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, Trish Stratus, AJ Styles, and Roman Reigns. For those of you who want their wrestling with a perfect mix of serious analysis and comic relief, find Ring Rust Radio dropping every Wednesday night on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to The Deep Dive. We are talking about stand-em and fandom, and my man Jeff Jones brought up a really good point when we went to break, and I want to bring it back in. And Jeff, I'm completely with you. I think Sasha Banks gets a lot of crap that's unnecessary. Some of it is because, and again, that could be a deep dive in and of itself. There seems to be this line, and Cam's kind of talked about it a little bit, where as a woman of color, she kind of has the Dwayne Johnson syndrome, because some people don't see her as black enough, and other people don't see her as really, you know, as anything but black, like the Sasha's Ratchet comments, like, and then you add this in, and the, you know, as someone said a few years ago, you know, as racist as sometimes we can be as a country, we're a heck of a lot more misogynistic. And so when you look at what happened with her, it's not just that you have to deal with, you know, the weird latent racism that could be on this undercurrent of anything she says or does with some fans. Not all, some. You also have to deal with the fact that as a woman, she's being completely dismissed out of hand as this is your job, get over doing your job.
Exactly. And I try to tell people this in all conversations with them. Imagine your mother or your sister or your aunt or any female in your family getting off of the airplane God knows what time, and some creepy person coming up to them saying, hey, can I get a picture? And then they're saying no, and they're getting cussed out and whatever and all this other type of stuff. Because, again, I just think people fail to realize that while they are wrestlers, they're people just like me and you.
Yeah. And ooh, creepy. Go ahead.
Is this too creepy? Is this too creepy for this is where the fandom gets weird, and I don't understand it. So is this too creepy to come up to a woman by herself, probably, hopefully not, but if she's by herself getting off an airport and you're just rushing up to them asking them for autograph pictures and all types of stuff. Number one, they're tired. They want to go home. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, it's all about how you approach them. Sometimes it's all about the approach, too.
Yeah, you get more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. I think a lot of times people think they're entitled to it. And for a guy like CM Punk, you can see, I mean, he doesn't take the picture. He'll just say no. With Sasha, actually, you know, most of the wrestlers, you can tell when they take one of those and they're just completely out of it. Like, they want no part in it.
Yeah.
They're just whatever. And the one thing I know Bruce mentions, the fact that they themselves are fans, and that kind of hurts them when it comes to making money at times because the company can dangle certain things over them that they couldn't with some of the prior generations. The thing I think about is, and this is definitely the point, think about all of the wrestlers that we're talking about and how weird it is that these people are trying to take their pictures at the airports. And all of them have pictures where wrestlers are happy to take pictures with them. And I'm not saying that for those of you in the audience who might hear this and think, oh, you should do it because of people. No, I'm saying think about they got pictures at times that were appropriate and they weren't seen as intrusive. And that continued a positive relationship for them as fans.
But these other type of fans pop out there at Denny's 4 o'clock. Hey, can I get a picture? You know, that's just I couldn't even imagine. I couldn't even imagine it. It's scary, first thing. And is this weird? Is this super weird?
It really is. It's like wild. It would be the failure of the highest order. I mean, look at, the whole idea of NXT as this way station and indie darling superstore. And then I look at how it would feel. Like, I think about Aleister Black when he was in the indies. And he was going by Tommy End. You know, I was able to go to Evolve show a couple of years ago, have a really long conversation with him about stuff I thought was interesting that he thought was interesting, and it wasn't awkward.
Yeah.
You have to know, and I think that's something with life, and I get sometimes people, not everyone, and I'm learning this the older I get, not everyone has the same idea of what appropriate is. And you got to know when to tap out. Like, if the conversation's not there, you leave. If you read the room and you see that, hey, this person's kind of busy, it's all good. It's okay.
Yeah. And I mean, I've experienced that as far as, you know, seeing a wrestler, and I'm just like, how's it going? That's it. I just speak to them and keep it going. And especially a Ring of Honor show I went to when it was in Virginia. I think I saw a couple of people, and it's just like, you know, you could tell that everybody wanted to get a picture, but they were just trying to get out of there. And I was just like, if I saw a wrestler, hey, how's it going? Nice match. That's it. Keep it moving.
Yeah, and that's so much easier than just, I don't know, like putting yourself in a position where you're just you're setting yourself up for failure if you think you're going to be able to kind of hijack a conversation or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, also, too, look how the things that you're saying to them, you got to learn, I guess you got to see think about how many times they've heard that, how many people they've talked to today. Did they just have a match or they're about to have a match? They're probably thinking about, man, when I'm going to eat, I'm ready to leave, I got to go to the next town, A, B, C, and D, and all you're worried about is a picture. And sometimes, like you say, people have to really, I guess, experience life, experience conversations, and understand that, you know, it's cool to be a fan, but you don't want to be that type of fan.
Yeah, that's very true. And I just saw Darrell just put up something 41 seconds ago. Fan is short fanatic. That makes them obsessed with some of them stars just playing jackass and rude all the time, like CM Punk and what some say about Sasha, but both fans and stars have flaws. Yeah, I think both. I think that's absolutely fair that you could say everyone has flaws, but there's nothing that gives anyone the right, even if you're on television, to demand your personal space. And I think that goes to the whole point that Jeff has brought out here with the idea of putting a company over a person. As a WWE employee, they have the responsibility to entertain me when they're on the screen. They don't when I'm in, you know, United line, whatever, at gate six somewhere in Pittsburgh. Like here, flying out of Pittsburgh, I've seen wrestlers all the time. When I went to WrestleMania when it was in New York a few years ago, Kurt Angle was on my flight. I didn't say a word to him because when he sat down, the way people describe him is how I saw him. And there was nothing I felt like as a fan or an adult that could emphasize with him that I could do to help his condition because he was shuffling. He looked like he was in a lot of pain and I didn't want to go over to him and disturb him or I didn't want to, this is my absolute fear when it comes to any famous person. I don't want to start the avalanche of people recognizing. Because once the first person gets the picture, the second person. Then it's like this person thought they were going to get a spare 5 minutes. Because I'm the same way. I'm a very introverted person. I got friends, but I also need downtime. And so I know how I would feel if I'm in the middle of my downtime and someone were to come up to me, I'd give it to them. But what about the 50th person, the 70th person? It's a lot. What are your thoughts on that, Jeff?
I think when people look at wrestlers, I get it. I understand. Some people, it's genuinely, you know, it's genuine. Like a kid, you can understand, you know, 12, 13, or they just want a picture and stuff, you know, you get it. But when you're grown, and I'm talking about 20, 21, after that, because at that age, you know, hey, if you know the difference. You just got to be a little more, I guess, slicker or a little more, hey, like you say, read the room, read the situation, look what's going on. Is this really the best time to do this? Now, they don't owe you anything. So now when you go up there and if you choose to, you know, do whatever, picture, autograph, or whatever, they have the right to say no. Just like the old story I heard about, I hate to bring him up, but Randy Orton in the weight room. He's apparently he's working out. So why would you? You didn't read the situation, so he could easily just say me. He said no to you. No, I'm working out. Get out of here. Now, after he would have worked, you know, after he did his workout, or if you caught him before he was doing the workout. But come on, man. He's got to go to the gym. He's got probably limited time to do what he's got to do and get going. And, you know, people just need to be better as far as reading the situation and looking at themselves and how, if that was them, how would they want that situation to go? Because it's so easy to say, oh, I would give an autograph, or if I was doing that, I would do this and I would do that. That's easy to say, but you're not in that situation and you don't know what that other person is going through. You know, he may have family issues going on, travel issues, not to mention, hey, you know, sometimes those guys, you know, get stuck at airports and everybody wants a picture. Eventually, you. Well, that it's going to be that one person that's not going to get a picture and be angry about it. But if you're a little, you know, nice about it, you know, you may not get the picture, but you won't get the attitude or the thing, because a lot of people, they get upset and then they want to post on social media, oh, this is why I don't like a wrestler, because I wanted the picture, he didn't give it to my little brother, blah, 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 whatever, whatever, whatever. But how did your guys approach the situation?
That's just, it's all, like I said, it's all in how you do it. It's all in how you provide that request. And, you know, obviously we've been talking about this a lot, so when we come back, I want to kind of finish up with how the best way it is you can do that, as well as figuring out where that line is in fandom. And you'll hear more about that on the other side of this.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
All right. Welcome back to the Deep Dive with Jeff and Rich. We're talking about fandom, standom, and everything in between. And obviously, we're also wanting to talk to you, so give us a call. Area code 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. And Durrell just had a really good response on Twitter. He mentioned when we're talking about people go too far and jump off the cliff, that's different because those people have something else more wrong with them than telling them boundaries. Boundary rules don't matter because they're often fandom in real life. That's true. But a lot of that is the expectation, and we even see that with other sports, other entertainment venues. Look at what's going on with Star Wars, where fans are trying to hijack the fandom, saying, we don't like this one character, and we're going to bug the crap out of you because we need a better person. And Ran, the poor woman who played a new character who happened to be of Asian descent, and ran her off of Twitter or social media completely. Or Tom King, who was just at the San Diego Comic-Con, former CIA person. I mentioned this when I was on the East Coast cast with Travis. He had death threats because people didn't like the way he handled Batman 50. And if you're sending death threats to a former CIA analyst, you're doing it wrong. It's just wild.
Yeah, and that's right. You know what? Some people, I'm not going to say all of them, some people are just, you know, disrespectful in general. But then some people, yeah, they do have something a little bit off. To get to that point where a comic book bothers you, a movie character bothers you, and I think I remember people trying to call that girl ugly and all this other stuff, and then it got to, we don't need women in Star Wars. Like, where do these people, what? What is going on? You know, it's just, it's ugly. It's just ugliness, and I try not to get into it, but you see it so much, and it's just insane, because sometimes stuff is here just to entertain us, get us through like this thing called life. It's good to enjoy movies. It's good to enjoy wrestling. It's good to enjoy comics or whatever it is that you enjoy. And you can enjoy the characters. You can enjoy the performers. And it's everything that I'm talking about right now is pretty much a story. Movies are a story. Wrestling is a story. So people are ready to jump off a cliff or ready to burn houses down and all this types of stuff over characters, over a story that may not be finished. By Batman 58, oh, this is the greatest thing, and I like the way you did. You know, it's going to be a different story. And people just have to relax and enjoy these things for what they are. If you love wrestling, enjoy wrestling for what it is. If you love WWE, while we know every wrestling promotion is pretty much pros and cons with all of them. Not one promotion out there is perfect.
so you know you if you love WWE, enjoy it. We know it's problematic things that happen there, and we know it's some things that may hit a nerve. But hey, you have this on the side. Try to do something else. You don't have to wrap yourself up in this thing called, you know, WWE, and that's all you know. You know, you're going to die on the hill for, you know, whatever the situation, whatever they may do. It's just problems everywhere, and it's good things everywhere. We all just need to take it for what it is and stop overblowing everything, everything.
Hey, I couldn't have said it better, my friend. So before we get out of here, last thing I want to talk about is how we fix it. Is it something where you kind of check everybody when you see stuff like that? Is it you know, each one teach one? If you have a friend that is that person, kind of talking to them about it? Is it calling out the wrestler? Like Darrell said, he has a very good point. As much of a jerk as it is to kind of go into the bathroom and take the picture with Randy or go to his, you know, his lifting session and ask, there are times where he's just an out-and-out jerk. Same thing with CM Punk. He has been, even in the best of times, the nicest human being. So what do you think is the best prescription to kind of snuff out that bad part of fandom and challenge that bad part of the entertainment side of the thing?
I think it comes down to, hey, check people. I've seen people get checked on, you know, social media all the time for some of the things they say, and then all of a sudden, you know what happens? They delete their tweet, or they delete whatever they posted, or whatever, it gets deleted. Because when somebody checks you on something and you know you're wrong, you're going to get out of that, because it's going to be, you know, an avalanche of people coming at you, especially, you know, when you didn't conduct yourself in the manner that you should have. And I just think we just all, because we all, like you say, we all have our flaws when it comes to things. And I'm just going to, you know, just stick with wrestling. I just think a lot of things with wrestling just needs to be taken a little bit lighter, because while we all enjoy it, I enjoy football, but I'm not sitting here breaking my neck. Oh, I can't wait for this, you know, what's happening here. But, you know, I'm not doing all these things because I don't see it a lot in other sports as far as baseball, football, and basketball. But in wrestling, it's almost ownership. Like they own, like, these people, you know, you do realize that, Roman Reigns has a life. Roman Reigns is somebody that you see on TV. Roman Reigns is a character. This man goes home to his wife and kid and does whatever, you know, any other wrestler you want to name. We just gotta treat it a little more. You know, people have just taken it and run with it and feel like they own it, and you don't. It's a character. It's a story. It's supposed to be for enjoyment. You're gonna like some things. You're gonna dislike some things. You know, but don't cape for a company and then be upset because you didn't get your way. A, B, C, and D, because 9 times out of 10, two months down the road, you'll see something that gets you really excited, and the cape is back on again. And it's just a cycle. I've seen it. People be so upset with WWE. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks later, I love WWE again. And I just think it's best. I would say, if you can, if you're somebody who only watches one promotion, And if it's TNA, WWE, whatever it is, try to watch something else. Try to look at something else so that you won't get enwrapped in that one thing. Because, people are different, and everybody's different on their own out here. So I've seen a lot of good, and I've seen a lot of bad when it comes to just the fandom of professional wrestling.
Ow. I mean, Jeff, that was a standing way to close it out. Now, before we get out of here, feel free to plug anything you want, social media, any way people could catch you. I know you're in the stages of creating your own podcast, so let people know where you are with that. And this has been awesome.
As of right now, in the fall, I'll be starting my own podcast. Right now, I don't have any more information just than that. But if you want to check me out, you can just follow me on Twitter at the Enthusiast Double J, Enthusiast JJ. Other than that, I just want to say, man, I want to say this to you. I got a chance to talk to Cam when he came to New York, and now that he's on your show, dude, I just want to tell you, you know, all you guys. So if y'all listen, I can say it all at one time right here, right now. You, Cam, Travis, Shahid, D-Pone, you guys are my inspiration. And, you know, so I'm a rookie. So, you know, I'm going to drop the ball here and there, but I'm going to grow and get better. But you guys, you know, you show me that as far as, you know, how we look, you know, where we are, and there's an opportunity out there for us to do big things. And, I, you know, y'all are my inspirations, and I just wanted to let you know that.
No, I appreciate that, man. And I appreciate you taking the time to come on. I know Cam joked that you're like the super rookie because, like, Blank and Jeff's everywhere now. Like, and I'm looking forward to whatever projects you have coming down the road. You're welcome to come back to Deep Dive anytime. Don't be a stranger, obviously. And, you know, if you want, definitely anything you need to help, you know, obviously any of us will be happy to do it. Just keep us posted.
Appreciate it.
All right, my man, have a great weekend. And again, thank you. And thank you guys for listening. I think that was an awesome hour. It was a great time talking with Jeff about all these subjects. I think Standom isn't fandom. It's that poison version of fandom. And I think caping for a company, I don't care if it's football, basketball, pro wrestling, badminton, it's just not. I mean, that's the worst kind of capitalism. If you're going to root for somebody, root for the dude that isn't the billionaire, right? And as always, before we get out of here, I'm going to challenge you to dive into something new. Give yourself an opportunity. Like Jeff, super rookie. I could use the Nakamura nickname. Came on here. He's learning. He's figured things up. He was super entertaining. I didn't see any balls getting dropped. I don't know about y'all. But I thought he was awesome. And so challenge yourself. Do something you didn't think you could do and see where you go with it. Because that's what life is at this point. Pushing boundaries, testing yourself, and being proud of the growth you have. So with that in mind, as always, I'm going to leave you with some parting words from our head honcho, Wade Keller, about the fun things you can get when you join VIP, including this show and others like it, ad-free, and more. So definitely take a listen to that, and I'll see you all in a week. For me, I'm me, saying enjoy.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, this show can be ad-free and commercial-free with a VIP membership. VIP members not only enjoy all 7 episodes of the PW Torch Livecast with no commercials and the ads and plugs edited out, but they also get ad-free additions to the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling post shows and the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling podcast. Also, part of a VIP membership and exclusive shows such as the Every Single Day Wade Keller Hotline, the 3 times a week Bruce Mitchell audio show, including a new weekly mailbag edition with Bruce, The Fix with Todd Martin that I also host, post-pay-per-view roundtables that I host, and other shows on specific topics, including the new Talking Honor podcast with Lola and Harley discussing the latest in ROH, including a review of the latest TV show. And now we are proud to announce that Alan Cunahan, known as Alan 4L, has brought his talents to PW Torch after many years at The Observer, and there's a lot of excitement about his new weekly show called Alan 4L's Pro Wrest Paradise, with the best coverage of New Japan, all of Japan, the UK indie scene, including the US indie scene. So be sure to become a PW Torch VIP member for as little as $8.25 a month on average, and have multiple new VIP exclusive and ad-free podcasts every day on customizable feeds on your iPhone and Android device. For more information and our sign-up form, go to pwtorch.com/govip, and you'll find out what else comes with VIP membership, including a weekly newsletter, over 1,500 back issues of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter that started it all, ad-free access to our mobile and desktop sites, and more. full lineup, full details, and the sign-up form at pwtorch.com/govip. This is Live.